Hallelujah. He's an incredible God. Amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. He's incredible. Not only is he incredible, but he's an amazing God, isn't he? Somebody say, ain't he all right? He's all right. He's all right. One of the things that I like about that song is that it has this certain praise to it, in the light that it says that our God is an incredible God. Now that's a superlative. That's a superlative to let you know that God is a God who is so beyond words that we can't even express him as he is. So we do the best that we can do, and we just say, he's an incredible God. How many of you believe that today? He's incredible. Our scripture this morning, it points to some superlatives as well, in the light that it wanted to bring some attention to the reality of who our God is. When the scripture says that God lavished upon us his love, his grace, that's another one of them superlatives, that he gave us so much love, y'all, that they could only express it by saying he lavished it on us. And that's how we live today. That's what we are thankful about even today. Our God looked beyond all of our thoughts, and he addressed what our humanity really needed. I want y'all to track with me with those thoughts this morning, because I do have more to say about that. But I also want to thank God for everything that God is doing in our midst. I truly want to thank the church for being attentive to all of its responsibilities for the life of the church, and your participation and your tithe and your offering, even through this pandemic season. We're still able to take care of a number of things, which is our responsibilities here as a church family. We want you to know how much all of that is appreciated, but also want you to understand that your participation is also very important for us. I'm excited about how I see the church once again gathering. Amen, lights. You know, you might see half empty. I see half full. And I believe that God's going to continue to honor our faith. Wow, that's a good one. God's going to honor our faith as well as our faithfulness. So keep on doing what you're doing, that which is in Jesus' name. Amen, Liza. I don't want to encourage all that other stuff. But in Jesus' name, that which you do, keep on doing it. Amen. So let's pray. God of heaven, we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise for all of the wonderful things that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for offering to us your best. And we thank you, God, for those who are realizing what you have done and are responding in kind. We thank you for the services of these individuals. We especially highlighted one of our members this morning. And we just thank you, oh God, for the manifold blessings that came out of his attentiveness to the things of God. We declare and we believe, oh God, that you who began this good work in all of us, oh God, you will continue to make sure your will is done on earth as it's already done in heaven. So thank you again for the many blessings that you are bestowing upon our lives, even those we have yet to realize. Now, even during this time of our gathering, we want you to bless us right now with a word that's going to stay with us and cause us, oh God, enough tension that we will give it our attention. For the furthering of your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ursus, you are so attentive and alert to things. I praise God for you, and I want to thank you once again. And we're going to ask you to be seated at this time. But don't go too very far from me now, because I have a word I think that's going to cause a lot of us some maybe tension, because God has called us to be Christians. Amen, light. He's called us to be Christians. You know, Christ-likeness. God's Son made in the image and likeness of God. God has called us even for such a time as this. We've been tracking this scripture. We've been all over it. And I've seen some things that in Ephesians chapter 1, there is a host of information there for our basic understanding of what God has established in the church and in church folk, and even why. Learned quite a bit just revisiting that at this particular point in my life, and I've come to realize that Ephesians 1, chapter 3 through 14 talks about the many blessings that we have in heaven. But it also goes on to say that they are available here on earth to us who believe. That's 3 through 14 in a nutshell, but if you look closely at it, verses 3 through 6, it talks about the blessings that we have in God. Move on a little farther, and it talks even more, 7 through 12 maybe, the blessings we have in Jesus. And then down there around 13 and 14, it talks about the blessings of the Holy Spirit. I think this week as we are preparing to go into another Holy Week observance, and I say it like that because every week ought to be Holy Week in the life of a Christian, of an authentic Christian. I'm not just talking about one who believes in the facts. Talking about one who literally believes in the reality and are experiencing the life that is in Christ Jesus. Y'all track with me for a little while, because I want you to move forward this morning, because God richly has a plan for us. How many of you believe that? That he actually planned this business all out. And I truly understand the plan of God this morning, especially in the press of the felt needs that are surfacing in our society. And how we as believers are viewing these felt needs. And to be honest, it's telling me today that in our society, y'all, we got a mel of a hess going on. You look out there and you see people going to hell in a handbasket. When you know what Scripture says regarding humanity, it helps you to understand how important a relationship with Jesus Christ is. If you're open and honest with yourself in this particular day and time, you see within yourself that the surfacing of our degraded society and environment, it appears that people have no real sense of value, no moral compass anymore. They have nothing really to relate to in the light of what's really going on in themselves, and as a result, the whole wide world is experiencing it. Folks slapping folks on national TV these days, and everybody's values are somewhat important to everybody these days. A certain percentage of people are allowing us to be influenced by their choice. It's amazing, y'all, all of the degradation that is spoken clearly in the book, how it works within the plan of God. So that's what I want to talk to us this morning about, is because I believe this next generation is going to have to reckon with some things. And I think even in the light of where we are in this daily grind, where we are, God has revealed a mysterious plan that's not necessarily hidden, but it is right out there in the open, but you can only see it through the eyes of Christ. Wow. See, when you think about what God is doing, and you look at this next generation that is creating this tension with the generation now, and all of a sudden they are wanting to emphasize their own actions, their own freedoms, their own truth, their own decisions that are fundamental to them, because they believe what they believe. That sense of existentialism, if you would, is creating havoc on those that are of the faith. What are you talking about, people? God, what are you talking about? You're talking about the inbreeding, the intolerance that comes up even toward the proclamation of God and focuses on our faith and is foundational to our faith. Preacher, you're moving on. You're moving on. Well, I need you to understand that God has already purposed us. God has already recognized what's going on with us. God has already seen the problem with humanity, and he has solved it with the best plan that was available. How many of you believe there is still sin in the world today? How many of you believe that sin has so contaminated the humanity that it also produces sinners and sins? Wow, sinner, sin, sinners, sins. That's the makeup of humanity. The scripture is clear on it. Remember the scripture? And I think that's where we have to go these days. We've got to draw people back to the reality of what is truth. And the Bible says the Bible is truth. Jesus is truth. It ain't what you think, but it is what God says. It ain't your truth, but it is what God says is true. In other words, we got to see within our humanity the scope of how sin has affected all of our natures. And as a result of it affecting our nature, what do? We naturally are sinners. And as a result of that reality, it encompasses every last one of us from the beginning. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans goes on to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans also tells us that, reminds us, if you would, for the wages of sin is death. And he also goes on, Galatians, he talks about the works of the flesh, how sin has done this old nature, and he speaks against the reality of what's going on in your life, what may be going on in somebody else's life, what may be going on in us collectively, what might be going on collaboratively, whatever it is, the Bible speaks of those things and it speaks it clearly. And I don't know about you all, I've been kind of studying this thing, and I believe it proves itself true, not 99% of the time, but 100% of the time. I don't think I got too many amens on that, but the reality of it is still what is happening is that we don't really understand how sin has so impacted each and every one of us. And if we understood it, we would understand and appreciate more the plan that God has established for us. In other words, the opportunity to escape, to be freed up from those challenges that are sure to come into your very space. It's going to be determining whether or not you're going to respond to it, react to it, or respond to God. He has a plan that can free you up from your own sin nature. And until it is addressed, you will continue to choose everything and every influence, every wind of doctrine, whatever the case might be, you will continue to make those kinds of decisions. Now, I'm here today to speak to you on behalf of the plan that God has established for all of us. In Galatians, it says something that can probably peep the world, y'all. And I want y'all to see sin in action, because God speaks to it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. He says, Now the works of the flesh are revealed. In other words, they're obvious. And he says, these are they: adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hate. Any of these hitting you anywhere yet? Hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. Now, God's calling them out, y'all. He's calling them out. But for whatever reason, a lot of people in even the Christian world, we are relaxing what God's calling sin. The challenge here is that a little leaven leavens the whole. And when I say that, I'm saying how the influence can become the greatest impact in the life of the believer, and it will literally tear from under it this whole doctrine that I'm talking about this morning. See, it is sin that is the culprit, but it is Christ that has made a way for us because of his love toward us. And he has enabled us to be free from all of that so that we can inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't finish that Galatians 5, but it is right there. It says, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's calling it bad for business, y'all. He's calling it bad for family, y'all. He's calling it bad in the light of not the superlative like the young folks say, that's good. Y'all know how they say it. Some of the young folks say, that's bad. And then we say, what's bad about it? Oh, well, you know, that means that's good. You know, but that's not how I'm using it today. I'm using it so that you can understand and know God is saying that's bad for business. So he says, all by himself in the scripture, he goes on and he tells you and I how he's going to deal with it. He says, my kindness and my grace is rich And it is overflowing, like water that's going over over a waterfall. We went to a spring, and they had a waterfall there, and they had it's a sulfur spring, and so you're first supposed to get in the sulfur and get all nasty and stuff like that. Then you go over to this waterfall, and this waterfall drenches you and cleanses you. I saw that as a beautiful illustration about the grace of God, how he looked beyond our fault and he saw our need to be cleansed from all of our unrighteousness and reset these old lives of ours. And that produces the praise to the glory of God. See, those who understand how contaminating sin is, just a thought that God looked beyond my faults and he saw my need to be cleansed and he gave me more than enough grace that cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I'm almost like the prophet that said, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. God's been so good to me. My life just produces the kind of praise because he loved me not enough, but he loved me more than enough. How many of you believe that today? How many of you think he's worthy of your praise even in that? Not what have you done for me lately. Not that kind of thing, but from what have you done for me since I first believed? And when I first believed that you, oh God, looked beyond my fault and you gave me the blood of Jesus and this blood cleanses me from, this blood forgives me of all of my trespasses and all of my sin. This blood has made the difference in this old wayward life. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I ain't been all that to whereas I don't need what God has provided for me. I'm thankful to him, y'all. I'm happy in the reality that he ain't holding nothing against me. I'm happy, y'all, that he has decided to cleanse me and make me over. And now, just like that waterfall, that grace continues to flow. Continues to help me to live this life that I have in Christ Jesus. How many of you understand and know that you couldn't do this without grace? How many of you get it? I mean, if it wasn't for him continuing to lavish this grace upon me, I would just be stuck. I'd just still be where I is. But the reality of it is that he keeps on meeting me with this grace, giving me traction to get to where he wants me to be. Bible says in verse 7 and 8, it talks about God forgives and redeems us in Christ. He forgives me, redeems me, so that I can be able to freely live against all odds. Wow. in a world that's degraded, in a world that is just tore up from the floor. I am free in Christ to live in the beauty of holiness. Wow. See, some people are still wanting to hang out in that area, whereas I'm human, and so I'm human, and I'm just stuck in this humanity. But see, there's another piece of the plan. There's another piece of the mystery. And it's right there in the word, and it says he gives me the freedom. What kind of freedom you talking about? Well, I'm talking today about this freedom from this sin that had me bound. I'm talking about whatever it is. It might be alcoholism. It might be sexism. It might be sexuality. It might just be whatever it is that you are continuing to abuse, and it is continuing to abuse you. Whatever it is, whatever you are encountering in this life as a result of the nature of sin, I come by to tell you today that this season ought to be important to you and exciting for you, because God said you have been released from the power by the blood of the Lamb. God is saying that to you this morning. He said, you don't have to fall prey. Flip used to say, the devil made me do it. You have more power than that. You have a power that the devil can't touch this. In Christ. In Christ. For God so loved the world that he looked beyond its faults and saw its needs. Saw the need to get in touch with your humanity and cleanse it from the stain of sin and cause you to be perfect in Christ Jesus. So that God can say, this is another one of my sons. This is another one of my daughters. And I'm pleased with their life. Now, don't get it twisted, y'all, because see, one of the things that Christianity has dulled down on is the reality of this real life that it gives us. See, Christianity gives you a life to live into a practical experience. In other words, church, this thing is real. Some of you want to experience some holy. Some of you want to experience some hallelujahs. Some of you want to experience some of this transformational life, but have yet to experience it all of these years. Maybe you hadn't even thought about it to that degree. Maybe you took the insurance and went on about your business and say you're happy at that. You got fire insurance. But you don't have the blessed assurance that God has created for us to live this life and experience it more than abundant. There's another one of those superlatives. So much so that you just won't know yourself, and you can't help but give God some praise. wife saying this morning, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? That would be the voice, that the verse that comes out of all of our mouths. Because the reality is, if God hadn't given us the Lord who is on our side by his grace, where would your life be? How many of you would agree that this life of sin destroys? Anybody ever experienced sin before? This life of sin is destructive. And it might start off good or enjoyable or to create a lust or to create a temptation for, but the end result, because it's sin, it is destructive, and the wages of sin is, oh, y'all know that, huh? And since we know that, since we know these realities about life and about death, it ought to behoove us more to be thankful for God so loving the world that he didn't leave me out there to die. But he gave me an opportunity through his son, and all of a sudden I have new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Oh, things are passed away, and everything in front of me is new. In other words, God done freed me up from the shackles of sin, and now he has placed my feet on ground to which I might have abundant life. I don't know how much plainer that I can get, because see, you got to understand that forgiveness gives you traction. Amen. Like the idea of forgiveness is all about being pardoned of a sin, and in other words, being pardoned means you've been let go, and now the record has been cleaned, and now they can live as if they never have committed a sin. See, right there, that ought to be somebody's place to say, thank you, God. Somebody's place to say, praise you, Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord forgiving me, where would I be? See, it canceled my debt. It canceled my penalty. It says, Psalm says, as far as from the east is from the west, so far has he removed my transgression from us. Wow. God did that. God did that with his son. God did that because I couldn't do this for myself. He showed me he was doing it with goats. He was doing it with lambs and the like in the Old Testament. And that is a reason why I can see Jesus so clearly now. Because what goats couldn't do, what lambs couldn't do, the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world was in God's plan. And the ideal of his plan was you and me. Wow, that's gospel 101. That's why it's good news, y'all. That he kept my soul from the pit of corruption and he's cast all of my sins behind him so we together can go forward in Jesus' name. Now, I ain't talking about just you, but I'm talking about the we in the light that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. See, freedom. I'm talking about this plan of forgiveness and even the redemption that I've been now set free from the captivity of sin because he paid a ransom for me. Anybody taking advantage of that ransom that he's paid for you? Anybody trying to live in this newness of life that he's already made available to you? See, if you're not, you're missing out on the purpose of God. In the scripture, Mark 10 and 45, Jesus explains his purpose for coming to the earth when he said, "For even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." God is good, isn't he, y'all? See, so many times we want to hold on to this idea of this angry God when I'm trying to tell you that the scripture talks more about a loving God. He so loved the world that he gave us some laws. Come on, y'all. He so loved the world that he didn't just let us run amok. He so loved the world that he just made sure that we had a moral compass on the inside of us that he can attune to his divine love for us. Man, he knew me. He knows you. And he lavished you with grace so that you might continue the journey. But then he says, this is a catch, Paul says, "But shall you continue in that sin so that the grace might abound?" He said, "Oh no, you missing out on the joy that is in the Lord. You're missing out on the abundance that is in the Lord. You're still chasing pipe dreams of the world rather than living into Christ and all that he has for you." See, the Bible is wanting us to understand that God is a loving God, and he gave us the beloved Son so that we can experience the divine love he has for us. Listen, y'all, the love of God covers a multitude of sins. How many of you believe that today? How many of you believe that the one who bestowed it upon us can cover a multitude of sins? I don't think it's anyone that's out there hanging that he can't do nothing with. Whatever you think you've done, the Bible is saying God got it covered. And he covered it not so that you can get comfortable in it, because it's going to destroy you. But he covered it so that it won't be remembered and we can keep going in this relationship. How many of y'all going to remain in a relationship that's not trustworthy? I don't hear nobody say, "I'll do it, Reverend." No, you're gonna get some traction, and you're gonna try to move on. You'd rather be in a place where life can be trusted. And Jesus is saying, "You can trust life with me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." God says, "I got you covered with my divine love." He says, and even in this world that you can't seem to call it for what it is, you don't know where the next sins are coming from and how the evil is going to enter in. You might not understand or know. He said, but you know what? You don't have to be worried, because I have a perfect love that can cast out fear. And you can learn even in that to trust me, trust God, and trust one another. That's good stuff, y'all. That's traction. That's the kind of stuff that can make me wake up in the morning and get started again, and rather than saying, "Here we go again." I can say it with spunk. "Here we go again. Let's do this. Wake up in the morning and say, "Let's do this." With a "let's do this" attitude. How many of you got a "let's do this" attitude concerning your faith? When you understand and you know and you've experienced what God can do, then you'll be able to have the experiences that I'm talking about. And see, finally, y'all, I just want to tell you something about this divine love that he just lavished us with. It's just over and over that he's just given me so much. He says that this divine love of God stimulates me to want to live more like him. That's what the goal is, y'all. That's what the goal is all about. Not so that you could stay here and be all that in a bag of chips for yourself, but so that you can stand out. And somebody can identify, transform life and say, "You're not the same that you were a few years ago. So something changes. You don't drink like you used to drink. You don't smoke like you used to smoke. You don't hang out like you used to do. What's going on with you?" And you could say, "I realize something. I realize that God died for me through his son, Jesus Christ. I realize something. He gave his only begotten son for me so that I can be freed up to live more like him. And when I'm freed up to live more like him, I can have the kind of lifestyle that the Bible talks about. I don't have to be listening to all of that stuff, that Christianese out there that God, I'm too blessed to be stressed, and it don't hold me for the next minute. I can experience, and one thing about experience, y'all, when you know something, you know something. And when you know that you're too blessed to be stressed, you can live and enjoy it, and you won't let nothing take it away from you. Woo! When you know that you can have peace in the midst of your storm, you won't let nothing take it away from you. See, that's what God is after. That's what God is after. He wants you to get there. So when trouble comes in your way, you'll have something and somebody to hold on to. Oh, it might be painful along the way, but I come by to tell you, you're not just going to it, but you're going to get through it. And when you get on the other side of it, you're going to see the perspective from God's point of view, and you're going to point to him and say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the power that's in your blood. And you ain't going to be able to sit there like the frozen chosen. You'll be melting all over the place in the love that God has for you. You'll know. You'll know him as a reality. You'll know him as a reality. You don't have to, you sure, facts are good. But to know that you know is a totally different. My wife, my mother did something a few years ago on her dying bed. She'd been searching for, to make sure her relationship was known by Jesus. And she's always digging deeper. She's always wanting to go deeper. She wanted more than anything that God knew her name. And on her dying bed, she was released from her humanity because she discovered he knew her name. Amen. If you want somebody to know who you are, it should only be Jesus. You want to make sure. You want to make known that he knows your name. Don't just be coming up to the man's golden gates and knocking on the door and looking for St. Peter and don't nobody know who you is. But Lord, I've been in McKinney all my life. I paid my tithes at McKinney. But do you know the God of McKinney? Do you know the reality? Do you have relationship with the Jesus of McKinney? Church, I come by to just to tell you, to remind you, that God's plan was that you know Jesus. And before you leave this world as a human, you want to know who Jesus is. Don't discount him like the world is trying to do. Just discount him in the way that you are not even relevant in this day. The evidence of children says we're discounting him. We're discounting his value because they don't know their sin. And we are proving everything that come out of those little warped minds that we owned and now they are owning, But thank God somebody was there to correct me. Thank God somebody was there to correct you. Thank God somebody told you about your human self, that you need Jesus to right all of the wrongs, to give you the right perspective, to fix your faith with the right focus. You need Jesus. How many of you know you need Jesus? Do you know you need Jesus? How many of you are appreciative of the reality that you have Jesus in your life? See, that's where praise come in.